Hi, this is Mark Edward Davis with EuropeanDreamConnections.com, or EDC. I'm a published author of Mastering the Adventure of International Dating and a media spokesperson in behalf of international relationships. Oh, and a personal success story, a guy who's happily married to an amazing Ukrainian woman named Anna for the last 5 years now. Look, I want to tell you, tonight is special. This is what we do every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. We have these webinars to accomplish three things. We want to educate, develop, and celebrate. We educate new guys who are just discovering this and help them understand that foreign relationships are viable and how to practically make it happen. We do personal development for guys and coaching, so if they're in action and they're looking on their quest to find their queen, we want to help them. And third, we celebrate. We celebrate guys who've made it happen, and we have a community here we're developing of happily married couples and all the guys who'd like to be in that group someday. So to that end, welcome to EuropeanDreamConnections.com and our weekly Thursday night webinar. Now, tonight I've got an interview. If you guys are familiar with what we've done now, I've done over 70 of these now over the course of since probably early 2011. And when we've had these, I've had some that you guys wondered, what in the heck are you doing? Because I brought on guys who got engaged, who went on other companies, who went with other tour companies. And the point is that with those, it's like, you know, the guys took my coaching and they were successful. We just celebrate international relationships and marriages and these kind of things. So tonight my guest owns a competing website, and it's not competing, but here's what I want to tell you about him. Winston Wu went out, and I was made aware of him several years ago when I first wrote my first book, and we touched base then. He created a forum to continue a conversation he was having out in the world to try to just share honestly his story about the contrast between his life from Southern California to traveling the world, the dating scene, and living overseas. So he created a forum called happierabroad.com. And I tell you, though, the reason why I wanted to ask Winston here tonight is because not only because he's been a supporter of ours from his website, but just because he's done a good job of analyzing the difference between life here and life overseas. And we're not going to agree on every topic, but I think there's something helpful we can gain from every insight. And so from that, Winston, I just want to thank you for being here. Thank you for being on the show. And we really look forward to this conversation with you. So welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mark. It's a great pleasure to be here.
That's awesome. Well, hey, I just want to start off just from the ground zero. To the one thing we have in common is always we lived in America first. And so tell me what your first experience getting out of the country, why you did it, and how it contrasted you. Did you intentionally go on a dating scenario? Did you happen to be overseas? And what was the contrast for you in your experience?
Okay, well, it was basically just the frustration of the dating scene in America, and it seemed like you know, as Steve said, and you said in the last hour, that you know there was just so much hostility in the dating scene, and you know, especially, I mean, toward men, and you know, especially toward Asian men, of course, and so you know, I was, before I went overseas, I was meeting a lot of girls from AOL in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. And like every single time, I mean, even if we had a lot in common, they just had this automatic instinct to reject every guy they meet, even if they had a lot in common or if they had a good time together. And so there was just this rejection of every man they meet. Yeah, I mean, part of that is because they're picky, and part of that is because, you know, they have this inner resistance toward men in general, and also it's because, I mean, a lot of American girls don't like Asian guys too. That, so there was a lot working against me, and so I was getting like a girlfriend like once every 2 or 3 years, and you know. And so I just didn't have any choices, and I realized I was wasting my life and my time, you know. So just out of total frustration, when my last American girl left me, I just suddenly decided to go to Russia, which I had, it's always been in the back of my mind for a couple of years, uh-huh. But I didn't have the courage to do it until like 2002. And so that was my first trip there, and when I finally went, I mean it was like I felt so liberated from the oppression I felt in the dating world, because I felt really, I mean, women were just so authentic and down to earth and approachable, and I mean, they were as easy to meet as you see in all these American movies and sitcoms where they portray all these average guys going out and meeting the hottest girls very easily, which we know, you know, doesn't happen in real life in the U.S. But I mean, amazingly, it's like that overseas. So you know, it was very surreal. I thought that I was dreaming. I mean, it just didn't seem possible. It just seemed too good to be true, you know. But it was. So I realized that you know, from that comparison, that the problem was not me all along. It was with the culture and the society that had somehow destroyed the dating scene in America. Mm-hmm. And so that was a very liberating feeling to know that the problem wasn't me after all, you know, because in America, anyone who suffers is told that the problem is them and that they have to change something or fix something or improve themselves.
Sure.
So people automatically assume that the problem is them and not in society, and that insinuates that the society is normal and healthy, and in reality it's not. So it's a very big myth. Yeah. and propaganda. That I realized this delusion, you know, and so a lot of people have these false myths and assumptions, and yeah. So overseas, I mean, I just felt like I could be myself. There was no manipulation or trying to be fake, you know, or you know, act overly confident or something. I could just be myself, and women would just, you know, want to get to know me and be curious about me. I mean, part of it is because I'm a foreigner, sure, but you know, and also as an Asian, I stand out in Russia, but you know, but it's not just that. I mean, the way people act, you know, is just more authentic and genuine. People just, you know, in a lot of countries, just say what they mean. You know, there's no pretentiousness. If they're nice, then they're genuinely nice. If they're rude, then they're genuinely rude. So you know, you get this tell it as it is kind of attitude, which I like because it's refreshingly honest. You know, and you know, I'm like that way too. So,
sure.
So yeah, I mean, and plus, you know, I mean, like Steve said, I mean, all these women were happy to be feminine, and they were happy to dress very feminine and to look sexy, and you know, and they weren't trying to be men, and there's another issue here is that it liberated me from feeling insecure every day. You see. In America, I mean, a lot of people don't consciously realize this, but in America, everyone is pretty much insecure and trying to mask it somehow or trying to compensate mm-hmm. for it. And you know, this applies to pretty much everybody. And to finally be accepted for who you are and appreciated for who you are is very liberating. In that, for the first time in my life, I don't feel so insecure anymore. And so that's liberating, and that does wonders for a person's self-esteem and mental health. So there's actually a big mental health benefit in this global dating thing, and it's not just about dating. I mean, and a lot of people don't realize that there's a psychological mental health benefit here. Yeah. that's at issue, and so I mean, it just totally transformed me the first time I was in Russia, and I spent 4 weeks in Russia and then 2 weeks in Ukraine, but those 6 weeks, I mean, totally changed my life and my attitude, and the first time I finally had a purpose, you know, to live for, you know, and they were so memorable because every day something happened that created an interesting memory. I mean, even if the experience was positive or negative, it was still memorable. I mean, and that's the most important thing in life, because if your experiences are not memorable and they're very routine, you just go to work and come home and nothing exciting happens or interesting happens, I mean, the time just goes by fast and there's just no memory, good rich memories to remember, and so your life just goes on, and there's you know, it's just, I mean, when nothing happens, your life goes on, and you know, there's no memories, but when things happen, you know, like they do in a lot of overseas countries, like in Russia, for instance, every day something interesting happened to me, so every day was memorable. So those 6 weeks were like the most memorable 6 weeks of my life, and they just totally transformed my consciousness. And for the first time, I finally had something to live for, and I was validated and felt liberated from the constant insecurity that I felt every day. And so I just was on fire, and I had to share that with the world. And then when I came back to the States, I mean, I was in withdrawal, you know, but I still was on fire. I wanted to share that with the world. And I received a lot of persecution from people who didn't want to hear what I had to say. But, you know, but I knew that what I experienced was real, and so I wanted to share that. And so I developed an email list where I shared these experiences, you know, and I went back to Russia again, and it gradually grew. And eventually I started my own website in 2007, the happierabroad.com website, and that gradually grew, you know, over time, you know, and so and got more and more popular. So now we have a lot of people on the forum, you know, and I've had, like, so far, like, so many fan letters from people saying they felt the same way. And right now I have archived like 400 or 500 fan letters from people saying they've always felt the same way as me, but they thought they were the only one, or they didn't know how to express it or put it into words. And so they really appreciate that I did, that I created this website, and then they finally realized that they weren't the only one. And so it's helped validate a lot of people that felt the same way, you know, not just myself. So it's been amazing.
Yeah, it's
in that
really
sense.
True. I've always loved that part about being in the site. It's one of those things where it's like somebody's saying something that I felt, but they put it in words. And because some of these topics, like, you know, the Steve Neese interview we did, it's like the topics there about the culture here and what's over there, so many of them are taboo that everybody's afraid to talk about them. If you do talk about it in a social circle, there's already these preset labels ready to be put on you about what that makes of you and what kind of person that is. That, you know, you're interested in looking for somebody physically attractive, oh, you pig. You know, I mean, it's like some things that you just is like, can we just really have a conversation about this? Is it okay for a man to actually want somebody attractive? Is that really okay? I mean, I'm not talking about that's the end of the game, but can it be on my list without me being a pig? I mean, geez. And it's just funny how there are so many topics here that are taboo. And you're right, you go overseas and you can talk about anything. They're very comfortable, they're very authentic, they don't have the games. And because of that, it really is confrontational to a lot of guys when they go there the first time. They're not ready for such direct interaction and communication. It's kind of like, wow, I didn't expect a straight answer, or wait, there's no game going on here. She really means that, you know. And it takes a couple of days for guys to get used to it, but when you do, it's like you feel liberated. You feel set free. It's like, oh, my gosh. It's like you relax. And not only do you relax, you let down the guard and you can be yourself, but then you're validated. And it's like they actually are interested in you. They appreciate you for who you are. And you just enter this zone of fun. It's like play because you're around beautiful women who are sincere, who are telling you the truth, like or not. Not all of them are going to like you, but it's like you know. And you get to enjoy just living and going to sleep at night without, you know, things in your brain because you know where you stand in the world. It's really quite an amazing thing. Before we go on, I wanted to mention one thing. It was so funny because you're talking about you know, this factor when you come back and you go, really, is it just me? You know, and I was remembering that line from Triple X, you know, because they're saying, this is the world, we know it, you know, and he goes, look, if you wanted me to save the world, you ought to find at least a guy who likes it the way it is first, you know, to try to save and preserve it. Because it's like when you get over there and realize something different, it's like you're not interested in trying to preserve, you know, the mental games that are here. You're not interested in trying to reduplicate, you know, the psychological battle you have to go through here to date. It's like, nah, I've found something better. You know, it's honest. It's free. It's free of all this garbage. And there's a way you do feel liberated over there. But anyway, I just wanted to add on to that, what you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, and deep down, I think every normal guy wants to feel validated, and they prefer women that are down to earth and authentic, and more, you know, easy to get along with, and who are feminine and look like women. I mean, deep down, every guy wants that, you know, and so this is something that you know, pretty much, you know, is natural to men, and my website and my articles, I mean, they're not just about dating. I mean, that's a big part of it, but they're also about the social culture, the psychological benefit, and the feeling of freedom and liberation you get, you know, when you're in a more authentic environment. Because if you think about it, I mean, the the problems, the social dysfunctions and relationship problems that you have in the U.S. that you and Steve talked about, they're really a contemporary thing. I mean, they weren't true in human history, whereas the problems you have in other countries, such as the corruption, the crime or whatnot, those have been constant human problems for thousands of years. So they're more natural and normal problems. Whereas the problems you have in the U.S., such as women trying to become men and women hating men and having a disdain for them and thinking that they're all creeps, and the social disconnectedness that, you know, where people don't even know their neighbors and don't have a lot of meaningful interaction and connection with other people, those things are very contemporary. They were not part of human history. So in that sense, it makes the problem, these social problems in America, very unnatural. They're not part of human history, and so there's just something so dysfunctional in our social culture that has made it very unnatural and inauthentic, and not surprisingly, if you look at the statistics, the U.S. has the highest rate of mental health mental illness in the world, and you know, and also the highest prison population in the world. So I mean, there's something very dysfunctional that's very unnatural, and most people don't realize that because they think, you know, because the U.S. is the richest country, that everything is great and that everything in other countries is only worse. So they're kind of brainwashed by the media and the propaganda, not to see reality the way it is, but mm-hmm. but just to see a very skewed, and I'd say if you look around, you know, if you walk around in America, I mean especially, you know, on the West and East Coast, I mean, people just don't look very, very happy, you know, and so even though, you know, even if they have money, they still feel unhappy. There's this dissatisfied feeling within everyone, and they don't know why. So something is very, you know, unnatural and skewed. And what I've learned from the most experienced travelers is that the happiest people in the world are not the people who have too much or too little, but have the ones that have just enough. And they, you know, are in balance, and they have the most meaningful human connection, too. So, I mean, those are all important things that a lot of people don't realize, or they feel, but they just don't know how to put it into words.
Let me ask you before we get on to, you know, because I think I want to spend some time talking about living overseas and the different cultures there, and there's some things that are to be honored. But since you brought up the domestic issues, it's interesting to me. I'm gonna bring up the topic of marriage. I had, when I was first coaching, I used to tell the guys, you know, because they would question. I mean, there's been a lot of movement already in this issue, just even since I started doing what I'm doing. And I used to tell the guys, can you name me, you know, how many in your circle, personally, your own circle of people you know, how many marriage relationships do you know that you could count that you say, I love the way they interact. I would love to have a relationship that looks just like that and emulate and be envious of and want to say that's the model for marriage. And most of the guys can't name one or two. And that is the sad part about the state of affairs. But now that I've been into this, I can tell you numerous ones with international marriages where I'm going, like, they're so wonderful together, they're so comfortable, and obviously maybe my viewpoint is tainted, but I wanted to let you address something here, because I got an email today from a guy who was saying in your site you actually were against marriage, and I think we've had a conversation before on this topic, so I don't know that that's true. I don't know what they were referring to, but I thought maybe I'd let you expound on that, because obviously we're all about finding married partners here.
Well, I mean, everyone is different, and you know, there's no one path or system that works right for everybody. But I mean, with every choice you make, there's always a trade-off. There's a pro and con, you know. And for me, I really like my freedom, so I'm not really in a rush to get married, you know, mm-hmm. because I'm kind of like a adventurer type, and I'm not, you know, into settling down as much yet, you know, at least not for now. So there's pros and cons of marriage, and plus, you know, most there's a lot of, you know, horror stories about, you know, guys being married to American women and you know, get, you know, losing their assets or getting treated badly, you know, during the divorce. Sure. Or something. So there's
a lot of horror stories. Yeah, no, like Steve said before, it's like in aviation. There's always the story of the plane crash that gets all the news. You know, and obviously by percentage, there's a higher divorce rate overseas than foreign. But just in general, would you just to clear the air, would you say you're anti-marriage or not?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm anti-marriage. I mean, I just see that there's a lot of reasons why you know, like there's some advantages to not being married, and there's some
sure.
advantages to being married. And for me, I mean, because I like, you know, to have a lot of freedom, you know, it's not really an advantage to me as much. But I mean, if I was to meet my soulmate, I might change my mind and reconsider. Plus, you know, I'm
sure.
kind of picky too. But I don't tell everyone, you know, that you shouldn't get married, you know, because
sure.
I mean, that is up to the person. I mean, some people are marriage-minded and marriage types, you know, and some guys are not. I mean, in my forum, we have both types. I mean, we have people that are looking for marriage, and we have people that are not. But I mean,
right.
I mean, on the same token, I mean, I wouldn't tell someone that you should get married or you have to, you know,
right.
because
if
it's not right, if it's not right for them, then they shouldn't, you know. Everyone has
right.
a different path, and there's no one path that's right for everybody. So every person has to decide, you know, what makes you happy. So I don't tell you, you know, or someone else what to do. I mean, so
right.
I just give people options, you know, and let them consider the options and make their own choices based on their needs. You know, that's what I do. I'm an informer. Yeah.
I appreciate that, and I thank you for answering that, because I don't know, I hadn't read this stuff, but I wanted to just address it. And frankly, the Apostle Paul says, I wish you guys were all single like I am. You know, it's a better way, but, you know, and
yeah, and it's psychology,
you know,
too, because
a single guy, you want it. But
I'm saying, yeah, I was just saying it's psychology.
You want it to be able to,
No, I was just saying it's psychology.
Go ahead.
Okay.
First.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying some guys like to keep their options open, and some guys like to hurry up and commit. You know, there's different types of guys. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's fine. I'm just saying that in either case, you always want to treat the ladies in your life with respect. It's just that's one difference here. And so, guys, it's okay. Everybody can have a different opinion. But I love his experience personally just traveling the world and seeing the difference in the culture. So, because you're a Southern California guy. Born and raised, and you've been American. So let's talk about living overseas.
Northern California.
Like,
yeah.
Northern California. That's right. I keep forgetting. Yeah. Well, I was in Sacramento for 20 years, so technically, I guess I would be more Northern California than anything. I went to Lee High School in San Jose near Los Gatos, and then lived in Santa Cruz. So I've been mostly Northern California. But so tell me about living overseas and what makes that advantageous or favorable to everything else you've seen, because you've had a chance to look at all the different options, certainly in that.
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, I don't like to tell people what to do, so I'm not saying it's for everyone, you know, but for it's just an option to consider, because
sure.
for some people, I mean, living overseas is better, you know, but it depends on you and your needs, you know,
yeah.
And what your goals are, But I realized that you know, since I was happier overseas and you know, felt more liberated, I could be myself. I had choices in dating, and it was so easy to meet women. I mean everywhere. You don't have to go to a place where people go just to meet people, like a club or a bar or a social function. You could meet people. I mean, you could meet girls just doing normal things, like going to the grocery store or going to the supermarket or at a bus stop or in the subway. I mean, you could just do normal things, and you would meet girls, and they would be easy to talk to and easy to approach. And I was happy just having coffee with them and just, you know, interacting with them, because I really enjoy that social interacting. And even if I wasn't dating them, it was just fun to you know, have an attractive girl, you know, give me attention and talk to me and, you know, exchange some you know, social interaction. So I mean, I was happy with that, but I just realized that, you know, overall it's better for me to constantly live in that kind of environment rather than go for a few weeks or a few months, a year, and then come back and then feel the withdrawal again. I mean, there are things I like about America too. I mean, there are many positives and negatives in every country, but just that feeling of being liberated and not feeling so insecure every day about being judged and trying to be something we're not. And here's a key point. I mean, when you're around people that appreciate you and for what you are and value you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it brings out a real authentic sense of confidence. You know, whereas you know the kind of confidence that people think of in America, you know, especially on the West Coast, is kind of like a to me a pseudo fake type of confidence. It's something you have to manufacture or pump yourself up with by going, reading a self help book or going to a self help seminar. You know, which is very unnatural because I don't think you have to pump yourself up with confidence. It should be genuine and real. You know. And when you're around people that appreciate who you are and accept you for what you are, it just brings out the natural confidence you have.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't realize that the confidence you think of in the U.S. is actually very artificial and not real, and you know like a manufactured one.
It is. Yeah. And if I can share, I got to tell you a story on this one, and I'm going to ask you to tell a story in a minute. I'm going to ask you to tell me your favorite. We talked about this yesterday. Your favorite pickup line in Russia. So that's coming next. But first, I got to tell you this. I got to tell you this story from when I was down in Latin America, because I spent about a week down there, and it was funny because when I went down to Latin America both times, it was mostly all with African American guys. It was a blast, and they didn't think I could hang with them. We had a great time. Costa Rica, we did everything: zip lines, sail fishing, cigars at night. Of course, it was all for fun when I went out in the early days before I fell in love and decided, oh my gosh, I want to marry this. So I was down there in Brazil, and we were just doing the beaches and the nightclubs and just having a great time. And funny thing was, I came back from one of those on an airplane. I was doing the connecting flight from Chicago or Washington, D.C., and I had this great story. It's one of my favorites. I told this guys to you guys once before, but I'm in the jetway of the airplane, this airstrip on the way coming back, and I just spent this time where everywhere you go, you're just treated with such warmth and respect, and that you said this almost part of you that comes alive because you're free to. It's not boxed. It's not criticized. You're just able to be you, and you just come alive in a great way. And that's why I say guys with good hearts will only become better when they're overseas because it allows them to be who they are, and it just releases so much good comfortable confidence in who they are in their heart. So I'm in line at this airport, and I'm hearing behind me this guy in this mousy voice, sounded like George Costanza from Seinfeld, and he's just going, oh, that's a really nice purse. Just, it was so bad. And I heard this very, and I'm not looking, it's behind me, as we're in line to get under the airplane. And it sounded like a very elegant woman's voice said, well, thank you very much. Some people don't appreciate leather in this day of animal rights concerns. And he goes, no, I like it a lot. I was just dying. It just sounded so horrible. And this guy was so insecure, you know. But I understand him because I used to be that guy. We're always afraid to say something because you never know how it's going to come back at you. But by this time, I was so comfortable and enjoying myself and having come back from this week where I was so honored for who I was and just feeling so alive. I got into this great conversation with her, and I just said, well, you know, it's not a problem that it's a leather purse, you know, but some people would say if you actually killed the animal, maybe they would have a problem with that. She goes, oh, yeah, I did. She goes, and of course, now I realize this is going to be fun. We're playing with each other here. And I said, well, she goes, yeah, my uncle owns a cattle ranch. I go, oh, well, that's interesting. Did you slit the throat or use the hammer to bash the head? She goes, oh, the hammer. I said, nice choice. Can take a little longer and a little messier, but that works. She goes, yeah, and I let my kids watch, too. Oh, well, that's good education. At least they'll learn something, you know. And then with that, I turned around and looked straight ahead. It was just so fun, the bantering we had and the fun. And we knew that everybody else around us probably were dying. But it was this moment I stood there going, like, where did that come from? Where did that come from? Because I never would have been like that before. Because everywhere else you're going in America, like you said, like we talked about with Steve Neese, you're afraid to talk to somebody because you don't know what's going to hit you back. And the women repulse. It's like every time you approach a woman to say something, they look like you, like, what do you want? What do you want? And there's this defensiveness here. And when you go overseas, there's this relaxed openness and warmth and acceptingness to everything that you get. So I just have to tell you, it is something that guys will only experience having been there. It becomes a releasing of who you are, that it's valued, that you come back feeling like, wow, I have always been of value. I just wasn't in the place where people appreciated it. And that's where I can totally understand wanting to live somewhere else where every day you're just valued for being who you are. And you get to be who you are, you know, all around you. And there's a certain sense of comfort that comes with that. There's no agendas, and if people don't like you, they won't like you. But everything's black and white, and it's like I said, in my marriage, I love it, because every night I go to sleep, I know exactly where I am. There's nothing unspoken. I don't worry about any issues. We know where we are. And so I totally want to support what you say. There was a part of me that just came to life from having been overseas. And I haven't lived over there. Now I'm married to one, so I get to live this every day. But I'm a different person now than I was 78 years ago because of this whole experience. And I wish it for every guy. Even if you just go for a trip, you're going to come back a changed person. And that's one of the pieces why we say that. This is the year that'll change your life. Because just having been there, even for a week, you will come back a changed person because you realize how valuable you are to most of the countries around the world, that it's hard to feel that same value here in the West. All right, I'm off my soapbox. Now tell me your pickup line from Russia. This was so awesome because guys are like, well, how do you meet a woman off the street? How do you talk to somebody on a subway and get her attention? So go ahead and tell that.
Yeah, well, I did a lot of filming when I was in Russia, and you could see me interact with the girls, and mm-hmm. I put those videos on my website so anyone can go and see them and see for yourself what it's like. But mm-hmm. yeah, I mean the only pickup line I used was very, very simple, and it was this: it was "Девушка, ты очень красивая, можно встретиться?" And all that means is "Miss, I think you're very pretty. Can I meet you?" And it was just and that's it. I mean, it was so simple and short, and you know, simple and short and direct and honest. You know, and you know, so I could just be myself and say, you know, that I what I want. You know, which is that I want to meet you. And you know, some girls would say, oh no, I can't. I have a boyfriend. You know, but they would never look at me that like I was a creep or you know, a bad person or something for doing that, but there was a high percentage of girls that you know would stop and be interested in me and give me their phone number, you know, and would just meet up with me later, you know, and so I've met a lot of girls that way, and you can see a lot of pictures of them on my website too that and I posted them there, so you could see like I've met a wide variety of different girls in Russia and some in Ukraine and also in Eastern Europe too in the Baltic states.
Uh-huh.
Just you know, with a short, simple line like that, and often if I just say excuse me, you know, a lot of girls will stop and talk to me and see what I want. They won't have this defensiveness like I'm some type of creep or they have no business, you know, meeting me or not. And another thing
uh-huh.
it realizes is that people, you know, aren't as cliquish in most countries.
Good point.
Yeah, because in America, I mean, usually people keep their social interaction within a clique, you know, a close clique mm-hmm. of friends, you know, and they don't socialize outside of that, you know, unless they were introduced by a mutual friend. So people don't usually talk to strangers unless it's business related, you know, especially in the big cities like on you know, like in the West Coast or in New York, you know, they don't talk to strangers unless it's business related, and especially with the women too, which are more paranoid and more careful about who they talk to. They don't sure. usually talk to strangers about unless they're business related but in other countries, in most countries I'd say, people, you know, are more relaxed about talking to strangers. You know, mm-hmm. they don't just limit their interaction to within cliques. And what I've noticed is that in the U.S. and in Russia, that there's a lot of reversals, like inverses. Mm-hmm. For example, in the U.S. Yeah, I mean, the friendliest people in America tend to be like the middle-aged and you know, older people or middle-aged elderly, like
mm-hmm.
and they tend to be, you know, more males too, you know, hmm. whereas the younger people are likeish and you know, more stuck up and uptight and not as outgoing with strangers, but in Russia it's like the reverse. The young people are a lot more open with strangers, and the old people seem a lot more grouchy than the old folks in the U.S. So
yeah,
there's
true.
Actually a big inverse there, and yeah. also, I mean, with the Russian and Ukrainian women, you can meet like the young women who are just 20 years old or 22, and you know, and they would be very down to earth. They would be educated. They would speak mm-hmm. multiple languages and study history and philosophy, and literature. You know, so mm-hmm. I had a lot of, you know, intelligent conversations with you know, girls in Russia and Ukraine, you know, mm-hmm. who were just you know, in their early 20s and very young, and you couldn't do that with people you know, who are 20 years old in the USA. I mean, young people just aren't like that there. So there's a world mm-hmm. of difference in the young crowd there, and so it's easier to connect. And you would find this even in Western Europe too. I mean, the young girls, like in France, for example, I mean, they would, you know, be a lot more cultured and educated and knowledgeable about the world than the young people in the U.S. And so even if they were snobby, you could still connect with them in an authentic way, you know, just from being genuine and being interested and curious about the world, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And so overall, you know, even in a first world country overseas, you know, there's a little bit more of an authentic experience. And another interesting inverse between Russia and America is that in America, people are usually nicer when they're at work, you know, and putting on the nice customer service face. They're nicer at work than off work. I mean they're more friendly when they're working than when they're not. When they're not working, then and they don't have to be friendly, then they're not as friendly. But in Russia, uh-huh. the people there told me that it was the opposite, that
right.
People can be grouchy at work, you know, if they don't like their job, you know, but they don't put on a fake smile or anything. But
right.
but when they're off work, they're a lot more carefree and, you know, and more friendly and happy to go lucky than when they're at work, you know, doing something they don't like. So they're more, you know, honest about their feelings and their mood, you know, in that sense.
But, yeah.
So there's a lot of interesting inverses that people don't realize. But as far as living overseas, I mean that a lot of guys can't just get up and move to another country because they have a job and they have a house they have to pay for and they have roots mm-hmm. they have in America. So it's not for everybody. So like I said, I don't tell people what to do, but it's just an option to consider, you know, especially if you're retired or if you have a business that's mobile that you mm-hmm. can receive just residual income from while you live somewhere else, or if you're like me, you know, who makes money online with a website. If you have an internet mm-hmm. business, then it allows you more mobility to live wherever you want. So some guys are able to you know pick up and leave, you know, and slowly, you know, cut their roots, and some guys are not. So it just depends.
Sure.
But I've always believed that, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. So if you want something badly enough, you know, you'll find a way eventually to get it. I mean, even if it takes a while.
Sure.
You know, so, and some people are happier living overseas and have been for many years.
Sure.
Too. So.
You know, I have to say that your cultural thing in relation to my wife and her experiencing what you're talking about is the double reverse when she came to live here, because over there they're very pragmatic. You're exactly right. They're very straight at work. And in fact, for Americans, they go over there, they think people in the workplace are rude. You know, they go to order something and, you know, they're going to look at you like, you know, what do you want? And then, you know, say, well, can I have some of that? They'll just go get it, cut it, and throw it out at you. They don't have to smile. You know, it's like, hey, I'm paid to be here, paid to give you stuff. What do you want? I'll give it to you. You know, it's funny. It feels rude to us, but it's kind of normal there. But on an interpersonal level, they're very warm. And like you said, the younger generation, especially when you go out to the discos and stuff, some of the guys in their 20s are like, hey, American, let me practice my English on you. I'll buy you a drink. Come here. You come here. Meet my friends. And you get this warmth often with the younger guys that are great when you're offline. And like you said, if you meet somebody socially in the street, you ask them for something when they're not at work, they will just stop everything to answer and do that. It's part of the nobility of their culture to like graciously try to help you. And so the funny part is my wife comes here and she watches the fake happiness in the workplace, and the grouchiness at home is exactly what you described. You go to Walmart, you have a greeter, hi, welcome to Walmart, you know, or these other places. And we know from us, the studies are when you have a greeter at the front door, your theft goes down. As soon as somebody realizes they've been identified by face, by somebody, they don't steal psychologically. And so all these stores have these fake greeters, and they're like, everybody's asking me how I am, and they don't care. They don't know me. Who's this person? Why are they talking to me? So she got used to it, understood it's just part of our culture. People in the street say, hi, how are you? They don't mean it. They don't really care how you are. But she's realized now nobody means anything by it. We're not trying to be sinister, but you know, they feel like they, that's one thing, like sometimes we in Americans feel like we're superior, us in the West, we're the enlightened ones, and they feel like you guys are full of crap, this is all fake stuff, you know, we're the ones who are at least real, we're at least honest about, you know, what we feel and you know, about life. And so it's it is really an interesting thing. This is why I love, to me, that one of the greatest benefits of being in an international relationship is that I'm never bored. There's always a different perspective. And to me, there's a nobility about her perspective on the world and life and family and kids and the way we treat other people that has so much respect. I mean, honestly, my life is so much richer for having spent all the you know, this time with her and my wife and just in these cultures, and realize, you know, in my, you know, holy am I, arrogant, I'm an American, we know how the world works attitude, I just got humbled and said, you know what, these people got it going on in so many ways that's just so respectful and noble, and, you know, we don't get everything, and I have to give some respect to these quote-unquote emerging nations that there's parts of their culture where they're not focused on money and materialism, but they got a lot of good things going for them.
Yeah, definitely, and to add to what you and Steve said earlier about relationships in America, another thing I've noticed is that when you're in a relationship or even a marriage to an American woman, she doesn't see you as one unit. I mean, she views it as two separate individuals with two separate needs and interests. So whereas a foreign woman, you know, views you and her, you know, as a unit to be together through thick and thin. I mean, but that's assuming this is a foreign woman with good values. You know, there's good and bad you know, people in every country, of course. But if you meet the right person, a good person with good values, she sees it that way. She sees you as a unit rather than as two separate individuals. Yeah. And
that's true.
Another thing I've noticed, which you know is very revealing, is that and this is true even with foreign women that I've dated in the U.S., like my Vietnamese ex-girlfriend, is that when the relationship ends or when they you know when you break up with a foreign woman, she usually will stay friends with you, you know, and be good-natured about it, and still you know wanna, you know, she'll still email you and see you once in a while, and you know still maintain a friendship, whereas it, you know with an American woman, once you know, you break up, especially if she dumps you, I mean, she'll never want to see you again, ever. She won't even want to remain friends. I mean, she just treats you like a mortal enemy. And that reflects a huge difference in value, in attitude, because it means that inherently the foreign woman is good-natured deep down, whereas the American woman, who never wants to see any of her exes again and sees them as enemies, is actually very mean-spirited deep down. And so that really reflects a fundamental difference in their attitude, and it says a lot.
Well, you know, I'll give a little contrast, though, because in Ukraine, there's somewhere in the middle, because the women there, when a guy, typically when they break up, it's because a guy's cheated on them, and they're really pissed. They feel betrayed. And so all they do is my wife says, we don't linger. Because here, you know, you get people that go for a year just trying to bandage and linger a relationship that nobody's liking. It's not working. And she goes, look, when we realize it's over, it's just over. We delete the guy's phone number out of our cell phone. We just go on with our lives. It's, you know, it's sort of a cut and go. It's like, okay, look, this, you know, whatever happened, typically it's because of betrayal. And so that's a hard line you draw in the sand. I'm sorry, this is over. And they move on. And so for her, she says in Ukraine, we don't belabor this thing. We don't try to go for counseling. It's like when we're done, we're honest about it. Okay, we're done. Move on, and I'll move on, and that's it. And it's not, so she really says, I give myself a day to mourn, and then I'm on with my life. But that's the way she says Ukrainian ladies more handle their dating situation over there. They don't go back and try to make friends with the guys, because obviously most of the times it's, you know, they ended because of a relationship betrayal. But they do sort of, but you know, it's not, they're not hostile. They're not out to go kill the guy. They just, you know, it's like, delete my phone. Okay, I'm single now. Move on. And that's the way, anyway, my wife has described it in Ukraine. So maybe that's a little different from the Philippines.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just saying this based on my experience, you know. I mean, most of my foreign exes, you know, still like to remain friends, and you know what I've seen. So, I mean, maybe it's a percentage thing. I mean, but I'd say definitely a lot higher percentage of foreign women remain friends with their exes, or you know, even
well, especially American, you're talking about. Yeah, you're talking about something different, though, because in your case, you know, you're just simply moving on. You had a time together, and that's fine, you know, and so you just move apart. That's not quite the same.
But it's,
so
it's not just
saying.
Marriage, yeah, but dating, too. They're still happy to keep in touch, you know, and to know you.
Right.
And,
sure.
And so, but it's just a different attitude, you know. So, I forgot what I was going to say, but yeah, I mean, I'd say percentage-wise, it's like that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's cool. All right, well, we got another few minutes here to wrap it up. What else do we want to cover on this topic? You've seen so many things. You've done so much. I mean, you've talked to so many people. You came back. You ended up putting together, you know, a site. You're living overseas. It's just there's so many different experiences you've had now. That comparing your life to Northern California is just a whole different existence. But it's interesting because at least it's one of choice. And I guess that's what a lot of these guys do. I know, we've had other guys in our group that have really said there's so many advantages to living overseas for cost of living, you know, simplicity. You live in cultures where they don't use credit and it's just cash. And you spend your cash, we don't have cash, you're done spending. And it's a very free system without bills and that kind of a stress. And there are ways to make it work. And so there are various places where you've got, Rick's got livinginukraine.com. You've got happierabroad.com, where there's groups of people come together to give each other advice and counsel and say, look, hey, if you want to do it, ask us a question, and we'll try to help you figure out how to make the logistics work. Because it is a big transition. It's not a small move to go from living in a commercial, credit-based, industrial, pay your taxes society to being in a developing nation. And so if you had, you know, four or five basic tips real quick on how to make that shift, what would you tell people?
Well, I tell them, first of all, I mean, decide, you know, who they are and what they want. But first of all, the most important thing is to, you know, not try to live by other people's expectations, you know, or care about what other people will think if you do this or that, because, you got to do what's best for you and live true to yourself, you know. So the first thing is to liberate your mind from worrying about what other people think, and to be set yourself free from that. And the next is to discover who you are and what's best for you and your goal and your purpose And then after that, I would say to research, you know, do research, do a lot of research, ask a lot of questions, find experts or experienced people to help you. And I actually have a forum at happierabroad.com where people can come and, you know, ask questions. And we have a great team of advisors with a lot of experience with international dating and expat living, who can give a lot of, you know, great advice based on their experience. So you know, anyone can come in and sign up and post on there, and you'll find that in the community at happierabroad.com. So sure. I would suggest they research, and get some information. But you really don't know, you know, until you try it. You know, like I could sit here and say, you know, should I go to Ukraine? Should I go to Asia? Should I go to Latin America? But you really have to plan to go and see what happens for you and how you feel and how you interact before you decide. Because everywhere you go, there's going to be some positives and negatives, and you gotta find the best combination that works for you. So it's not a one size fits all solution. It's a custom made solution based on the person's needs. You know, but it's just great that you and I, you know, are here to educate people to give them, you know, options and to present a lot more options than they've been told. Because you'll never hear about this from conventional sources, or, you know, especially not from the media or anything. And because most people don't know about these options, I mean, they're taboo, as you said, you know. And
well, and the secret is, you know, like anything. No, but I love what the one thing in common that we're doing together, you and I, is that we're coming from a place of experience where it's like at home, these guys will mention to their friends, hey, I'm thinking about, you know, dating a woman from the country, or hey, I'm thinking about living overseas for a while, and of course they're going to mention it to guys who don't have the experience. They're going to mention to guys who've never lived overseas. They're going to mention to guys who've never dated women in other countries. And so they come from places of ignorance, and they're going to try to tell you, you know, that your ideas are stupid. And it's like, well, where do you come to that from that opinion? You know, and so here at least you come to, you know, European, you know, Dream Connections, and we got all these different guys who've dated overseas and couples that are involved with, you know, that we can tell you from experience, and you can meet us and sit down in person and talk to us. We could tell you firsthand, let's tell you the real story. We've actually been there. Not only have we been there, we're the successes, okay? We're married, we got interracial marriages, we got everybody represented here, and we can tell you what it's like and how to win at the game. You know, and the same thing with your site. You know, Happier Abroad is guys who said, look, we've lived overseas, and I don't, you know, you said this before, so I don't, you, not that you hate America, but it's like, guys don't consider choices, but if they're going to consider choices, then at least talk to somebody who's actually done it to give you real advice. And so we're trying to be open forums of education for guys to have a place to come, ask questions of people who've actually done it and actually succeeded and actually have the thing you were looking for. And this is basic stuff. Tony Robbins will say that, modeling, right? Go find somebody who's got what you want first and ask them how they did it and then model what they did. So that's really our purpose. That's what we're out here to do. And I really appreciate the fact we had you on. Go ahead, wrap up. And close with.
Yeah, the important thing is to remember to live in passion and not in fear, because most people are actually living in fear, you know, and they're conditioned to be fearful by the media and the culture, to be afraid of everything, you know, and so because our culture is geared toward making everyone, you know, only care about working and consuming, so you got to break out of that and live according to your passion, not your fear. And once you do that, then things will start happening for you. Because if you think about it, most obstacles are mostly in your mind. Once you know, for example, some people might think, well, there's a language barrier overseas. You know, how am I going to do this or that? But it's actually a lot easier than you think, because there's a lot of people that speak English overseas that'll help you. You know, and there's a lot of nice, helpful people. And you know, when I first went to Russia, even though I didn't speak the language, all I had to do was carry the address of where I was going on a piece of paper, and then people would point me the right way, even though I didn't speak the language. You know, there's always a way around things, and everything is a lot. I mean, these things are a lot easier than you might think, you know, and you're actually glad that you did. And the most important thing is to live without regrets. You know, if you don't do what you want or what you love, you know, I mean, you might regret it later, and that's the worst thing. You know, it's better to make mistakes and to learn from them than to not do anything and regret it. So you just have to have that attitude, you know, and to go and try everything, to make the mistakes, learn from them, and to live according to your passion, not fear. That's the important thing, I think, the most important lesson.
Those are great closing words, my friend. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I'd also, you know, if I have a few more minutes, I'd like to quote this book that I've been reading called How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World by Harry Brown. It was written in 1973, but it still applies today. And the important lesson is that you can't change, I mean, people around you or other people, or you can't change your society or culture, but you can make choices to put yourself, you know, in cultures and with people who appreciate you, who value you, who bring out the best in you, where you can break out of your shell and be yourself, and that's one of the keys to success, you know, whether it's in business, in love, or in life. I mean, is to find the people that, you know, appreciate you and can work with you and partner with you, you know, and that are compatible with you, and they don't have to be local. I mean, they could be somewhere else. I mean, so you can make those choices to be, you know, in those cultures and with those people that are more compatible with you than with your culture, because you can never change people who don't want to be changed, and you can't change your society or your culture, but you can make choices to you know, be with people that are compatible with you, who appreciate you, and that's an important lesson. You know, don't try to change your environment. Just go to where you know, function and work with best, where you're happiest. You know, that's an important life lesson. Yeah,
I love it. Follow your passions. All right, Winston, thanks so much for being on the call, man. I appreciate it. This has been great information. I'm sure the guys really enjoyed it and loved it, especially a bunch of our guys on the call were anxiously hanging on to every word as they're getting ready to get on a plane next Wednesday to join us on our next Quest Tour. And we're going to introduce them face-to-face to some of these amazing ladies and this amazing culture, because as our slogan says, you can't download a wife. So thanks, guys, for hanging out, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks again, Winston. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
You got it. All right, and with that, I'm going to wrap up the recording, but we're good to go. I got all the guys, a lot of them stay, a lot of